They're looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, welcome to the Allen Park Royals podcast supported by Blue Collar Street Food. It is the end of the Bank Holiday weekend, unfortunately, for most of us out there. And it ends in defeat for Reading as we go down 5-2 away at Bolton. I've been joined today by Matt Lansley to discuss yesterday's game. Matt, how was your Easter weekend?
It was good. It was good, even with the football. I mean, it was always going to be tough going to Bolton, wasn't it? So still had a good weekend, 4 days off, win on Bank Holiday or Good Friday. Can't really have too many grumbling complaints.
What was your best Easter egg, Matt?
I didn't actually get an Easter egg. I got a big chocolate bar. Sorry to buck the trend. I got a big Dairy Milk chocolate bar.
It's disappointing to hear.
We'll get more chocolate in the chocolate bar.
Rectify that next year, please. we did lose 5-2 away at Bolton yesterday. We'll just jump straight into it, I guess, because there's only me and Matt here to discuss it. Because everybody else is back working now, although it is the end of the workday, Tuesday. So hopefully people will pick this up Tuesday evening when they start listening. Matt, there was only one change yesterday from the lineup on Friday, with Ben Elliott going off to the bench. Andy Yeardham back from suspension, only made the bench yesterday. Were you surprised that we only made the one change, or were you expecting kind of one change for it to happen, but for it to be perhaps Yeardham coming back into the lineup?
I expected Yeardham to come back in. I think we're in this weird phase, aren't we, with left winger at the moment. Whoever really finishes the game best starts the next game, but whoever starts the next game is never a good starter. In Kelvin or Elliot or Makaru, whoever it is, we're in a bit of a tumbling position there, or like situation there. We're just continuously rotating. But I would have expected Yeardham to come back in, being club captain and everything. I know the defence was, they've come off a couple of clean sheets. You can't really, it's tough to change a defence when it's in that vein of form, right? But I would have still expected Yeardham just to come in by virtue of the fact he's club captain. But Mola's done pretty well of late. So's Dorset at left back. So it was one of those where I was looking at, I was like, I wish Yeardham was there, but I'm not unhappy, with it all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yes. Yeardham is clearly our best right back. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think Mola's been playing badly by any means. It would have been not unfair to drop him, but I think it would have, wouldn't have reflected his level of performance over the last few weeks. Because I think when he's played, he's looked reasonable, especially compared to earlier in the season. So it wouldn't have been necessarily the most surprising change if he had been dropped. But I can understand why Sellers has left him in sort of yesterday. Let's jump into the action, Matt. The first half, I'll be honest, was a pretty much one-way train, wasn't it? Bolton, let's just get out of the way now so that we don't need to keep repeating ourselves here. Bolton were definitely the best team we've played this season, right?
I had a quick chat with the guys I did the podcast with after the game, and I think that they've seen flashes like that through the season, but it's been just inconsistent of late. They've had a lot of away games so far or recently, which they haven't quite reached those levels. But when you think the players that they're missing as well, and they still played kind of that well, they just suffocated us. It wasn't even like that they were creating chance after chance after chance after chance. But it was more just the fact that we just couldn't get out of our final third, pretty much. Whenever we got the ball, the only way to get it out was by just lumping it long. And Smith was having to play so deep because he was having to, try and help out defensively and just pressing when they were coming towards our final third. And it just left us, so short. I think Bolton are the highest pressing team in the league. And, it showed yesterday. It's a difficult one, isn't it? You want whoever we're playing, you want us to go there and do well and, attack well, pass the ball well. But I think you just got to be mindful of where Bolton are. It's one thing we discussed in the preview was, their recent run. It gave, I think, Reading fans reason to be hopeful. But sadly, that run doesn't extend to their home form, which is fantastic, really. They're the best team in the division for a reason.
Home form, aren't they? So. I think it was always going to be a difficult game. I think a lot of us probably went there with a little bit of hope that we might be able to pick up something. But that first, I reckon, 15, 20, 25 minutes, it just, you watched it and you thought, they're just really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure people out there will be listening and thinking, well, Reading didn't play very well. They conceded 5 goals, but Bolton really played yesterday like they were a team at the top of the league. I know they're not in the promotion places at the minute, but they are, for my money, the best team we've played all season yesterday. And I think probably the best team we played at the SCL as well, even though we beat them 2-1. I know that was just, you know, back in whenever it was, September. But that game, even then, it felt like they were a very good team that day. And we probably were quite fortunate to beat them, given we scored a long-range effort and then a late winner. Mm-hmm.
Well, the first half was very similar to that game. I mean, they battered us that first half. Adebayeju should have had a goal when we played them. I remember he was 1-on-1 about 10 yards out, put it straight at Button. Across two games, I don't think there's been a better team we've played. You know, Portsmouth, I think, you know, we actually really competed well against them. Derby, we've competed well against them and beaten them, obviously, once. Unfortunately, in the other game, there's not been a team that I think I've seen that have played as well as Bolton over both games. And I don't think there's any kind of shame in admitting that. You know, we're not at that level yet. You know, it's probably going to take us a few seasons to get to that level of Bolton.
Bolton have been in League One for multiple seasons at this point. Obviously missed out last season on promotion. I think they ended up in the playoff semi-finals last year, from memory.
Yeah, lost to Barnsley.
And then lost in the playoff semi-finals. And this is a team which has clearly improved since then. So, yeah, it was always going to be a difficult game. It was made more difficult by the fact that we found ourselves 1-0 down after 11 minutes, I think it was. Mm-hmm. The goal is a fantastic finish by Aaron Collins from 23, 24 yards into the top right-hand corner. Pereira's goal. Pereira had zero chance of saving this. The bit of the goal which I actually think is the most frustrating about it, Matt, though, is the fact that the one area where you can't really give Bolton any shot of the game is letting them win the ball 20, 25 yards out. And unfortunately, I think it's something that Kelvin has picked up as a habit this season, is he holds onto the ball for such a long time. And this goal was like the epitome of it. He tried to dribble it out from, you know, basically the edge of our own area, and then lost the ball. And it takes two passes, and Bolton have got a free shot on goal from 25 yards.
Yeah, and I think it's a difficult one, because I think you've got to give a bit of credit to Bolton for how well they pressed. Their number 12 was out and back on terms with Kelvin, you know, before he could even really, try and turn away, get a pass away. He does really, really well there. I think it was Cogley, their right wing back, who it was. But whether it's communication, whether it's spatial awareness on the pitch, game awareness, you know, feeling that where the pressure is, he's got to do better there, Kelvin. You know, he's got to be able to either feel the pressure coming from Cogley, or have a shout from, you know, Wing or Savage that he's got someone on his right shoulder, and you know he's going to put a tackle in, because you know how they've been pressing you. You've got Smith ahead of you. You've got Nibs making a run. Just get the ball forwards and just try and get it into their feet. But it's a good, it is a good piece of pressing from Bolton, for kind of all the bad, or whatever you want to say, from Kelvin. You know, it's a good piece of play from them. And I mean, the finish from Collins, you know, no keeper's going to be saving that. It's right in the top corner. It's full stretch. You're not saving that. It's an annoyingly good finish, really, from Collins.
Yeah, as you say, no keeper's going to get even close to it, I think. It's just a frustrating one, because it's not the first time we've seen Kelvin just lose the ball because he's held on to it too long. He's not the only player in the squad who does this. It's just something which, you know, needs to kind of be coached out of players to an extent. It's all well
I think,
and good.
I think the other thing, just quickly,
but you need to move the ball a bit quicker.
The other thing with this goal as well is that, I mean, we saw this quite a bit under Ince with, like, now we're playing almost this 4-4-2-3-1 in defence. Savage almost drops into the back line for this goal, and Wing is almost up, you know, in a attacking midfield role. So you've got almost this chasm in front of the back four again, which gives Collins the time. You know, so you give a player like him time. Aziz, he's kind of stuck in no man's land. He's got a man outside of him, and Collins with lots of space inside of him. He tries to jump in, but I mean, you know, he's never going to be, you know, getting there effectively and taking a shot because of the gap, the distance he's trying to make up. But it's, yeah, just like organisationally, right from where Ian Bishman loses it, it just all kind of goes to the pan, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, the rest of the first half, up until we get the equaliser, I think it plays out in a relatively similar manner. Bolton had a number of corners during the first half. I think they had 13 in total, roughly. It was an awful lot of corners. They carried on making chances, even if they weren't big chances. I think Pereira makes a really good save from distance from Josh Sheehan having a shot after about 25 minutes. Looks like it's kind of heading right into the bottom corner. He's made a fantastic save down low to his right. And then eventually, after 40 minutes, Matt, Reading do get the equaliser. Lewis Wing pretty much scores out of nothing. I'll be honest, I saw this at the time, texted my brother and said, I think that might be the best goal I've ever seen live. Unfortunately, you know, he texted me back and said it took a deflection, which was a bit of a shame because I think it took away from it slightly, but it was still a fantastic goal, and it was kind of out of the blue, and I think it really did, you know, rock them a bit, Bolton.
Yeah, like I think we started to get our foot on the ball a little bit, you know, coming towards the end of that first half. I mean, the way Bolton played, you know, they were so pressing. You thought that maybe there might be a bit of, or they might relent from the pressure at some point. But you know, you've got a player as good as Lewis Wing in your team. He's going to be able to do moments like this, you know, at points, and it's crucial. He's the kind of player that I think every team in the division probably hopes that they have a player like that in their team. You know, he can do something from nothing. He can start an attack. He can pick a pass. He can score a goal from nothing. I mean, you know, it is a bit disappointing that it did take a deflection, because I thought that the dip was natural, but it's pretty clear when you watch it back. It's very heavily deflected, but it gives you that chance. It's what, you know, the likes of, you know, Brian McDermott back in the day used to say, when you're under the cosh and that, just stay in the game, try and stay 1-0 down, because whilst you're 1-0 down, you've always got a chance. You just need that one break. You just need that one chance, that one bit of luck, you know, a deflected shot or a deflected pass through that then rolls to your striker or the ball to drop to you. And then you're back in the game. And, you know, I think for kind of, I guess, all the pressure that Bolton had early on, I think you got to give a bit of credit to the back line. And I think especially Mbenge, who actually played out of his skin for that first 40 minutes. It was probably one of the best performances I've seen from him for 40 minutes.
Between minute 35 and 47 minutes 50, Mbenge looked like a man possessed. Every time he picked up the ball, he wanted to move forwards. He made tackles.
There was a crunching tackle as well that he made on about 35 minutes. And yeah, like, which, I mean, you watch that and you thought, that's something from 10 years ago. I mean, it was a perfect tackle, but my God, he put some force into it, but he just won it so cleanly. And
yeah, like, Bolton player ended up on the floor, didn't he?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the next tackle he made at 48 minutes wasn't quite so good, because the ball gets played over the top of the back line and Mbengue chases down the runner. And as he enters the area, Mbengue tackles him, goes down, and it's a clear penalty, unfortunately. It's probably unnecessary, I think, for him to go to ground here quite so quickly. He's not really facing goal, the runner. There's no other Bolton player near him. We're probably less than a minute from half time at this point. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a rash decision, I think, from Mbengue. But as Paul was saying to us yesterday, the more decisions you kind of give our players currently, especially the younger players, the inexperienced players, ultimately they're probably going to make a bad decision at some point, unfortunately. And that is what, you know, proved to be the case here with them getting a penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think the frustrating thing for me is that we've seen a lot of these penalties over the last few years where the player's going nowhere. You almost just think, just shepherd him out. But for whatever reason, whether it's a lack of concentration, just, you know, a red mist, whatever it is, we just like lunging in. I mean, Mola did it a few weeks back, didn't he?
I mean, this is the difference between a League One player and a top end championship player, isn't it? That, you know, you make the wrong decision at that moment and it costs you.
Yeah, it costs you, and everyone forgets about the good work that you've done before then, because as we said, Mbenge had been genuinely fantastic. I saw some comments from Bolton fans saying that number 27 is one of the best defenders they've seen who'd come to the Reebok Stadium this year. It was brilliant. Tough sheet, whatever. It's the Reebok. It's the Reebok. It's just so frustrating because you think get to half time 1-1, you've done so well to stay in this first half. You know, I think Mbenge was probably covering Bindon quite a bit that game because he struggled against Yondadi. Yondadi had his number for the entire game. Seemingly, he was almost on his shoulder at every moment and kind of really bullied him. I think he had a bit of a lesson yesterday in adult and League One football. He's been fantastic for us of late.
Playing a bigger striker, that was the first time I've really seen Bindon properly struggle against a striker who's just bigger, more experienced. Mm. And, you know, he's not necessarily a great striker, Bob Varson, but he basically used all the tricks in the book
Streetwise.
To ensure that either he got space or he made space for Collins.
Yeah.
And, you know, it paid off because they got all the goals between them. So, half time. Frustrating to go down 2-1. It didn't take long though for the Bolton to pretty much put the game to bed at 3-1. I think they came back out 49th minute. They got the third goal. This third goal is another one where Reading have lost the ball just too easily in the middle of the park. There's a tackle on, I think it's on Kelvin, and the ball kind of rolls towards Savage, who's left the ball. I don't really understand what he's left the ball for here.
It's not even a tackle. I think Kelvin tries to play it. Kelvin plays it to Savage, but I mean the way Savage has gone for it, you wonder, because like it's one of those where you think there's almost been a shout from behind him to leave it, because he's half made an attempt to get the ball, but it's like he's pulled his foot away at the last minute because he knows the teammates behind, he's in a better position to pass it. Or I don't know, maybe he's been done by the oldest trick in the book and that's literally just a shout from the other player of leave it, and it's just rolled straight to him and sets off the counter-attack, you know, I can't remember their number 19's name, number 19 to put it into podcasting. Magoma, that was it. Yeah, the nice little Tom Daly diver.
And he finds an easy cut across for Bodvarsson, who's got a tap in, but essentially from what, 6-7 yards, I think it was in the end.
Yeah,
it was a very easy finish for Bodvarsson.
Yeah, he's got all the space in the world, all the time in the world. You're not missing that. Unfortunately, it's what happens when you've been caught out, as we've been caught out, and whether there was a shout there or not for Savage to leave it, you know, I think he's got to do better there. He's got to just put his foot on that and, you know, just know where your teammates are.
It's probably one of the criticisms I would say of Savage is the fact that when he has a bad game, it's not that he influences the play badly, but he goes missing, essentially. And yesterday was a bit of a prime example, particularly in the first half. But I mean, you could, you know, level the same accusation at Lewis Wing. Obviously, the midfield basically just got run over yesterday. But yeah, unfortunately, I think it was just one of those games where Savage just got taken out of the game very, very easily.
One thing we discussed at the game, obviously yesterday, was the fact that yesterday was probably a good game for Michael Craig to start. What with Harold Bolton and that play, with Lincoln coming up, would you almost take yesterday as an opportunity to bring Savage out of the team now? Because we've not really had an excuse to take Savage out of the team, right? He's been playing well. He's been dictating the play a lot in the midfield and been a key part of the success. But I guess for Lincoln next week, it's going to be similar to Bolton this week. I know you're at home, but would you probably bring Craig in for Lincoln?
It's a difficult one because we are at home and you would hope that we'd be a bit more controlling of the game. I think that was the biggest issue. It's not that we're not front-footed. It's just that we don't we don't control the ball well in midfield against these teams who are a bit more, higher up in the table. So it's a difficult one because you want to feel like you've got more control at home, but I don't know how much control we're necessarily going to have against a team like Luton, and perhaps it would make more sense to bring in Craig. So I feel like Craig will probably not get a start, but I could definitely understand it if he did. And, Savage was on the bench next weekend. The more interesting one is I clearly Wing is our best player in central midfield, and that's kind of not really up for debate. The kind of talk that we had yesterday was that Wing's been carrying an injury for parts of this season. Do you think there's a possibility at some point that we'll see a Savage and Craig midfield together? Maybe next weekend is not the right opportunity for it, but potentially before the end of the season.
I'll be honest, unless we're actually safe, no. Because I think if Wing can play, he plays, right? I think he's that important to this team at the moment. I can't really see a circumstance where we're thinking, oh, let's rest Wing here, let's manage his minutes like we did, with Smith earlier in the season. Because I just feel like Wing is almost irreplaceable in this team. I think Savage does have a few of the same qualities of Wing. He can score a goal sometimes out of nothing, but it's just not the same level.
It's not the same, no.
Yeah. So and unless we're actually safe, the stakes are too high. I think most think that it's only going to take one win and a draw maybe to be firmly safe. In the division this year. But I kind of feel like unless we're properly safe, I think Wing plays.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. It would be good to see them together, but also I think I'm on the same train. It's not going to be that surprising if Wing, plays every game from now to the end of the season, even if he is carrying an injury, unfortunately. It's just going to be kind of manage him during the week kind of scenario and ensure he doesn't get
injured. Well, for Savage and Craig, given how young they are as well, like Wing's got the experience of him. He's 28, 29 years old, I think, at this point. He's got the experience of playing in the Championship, in League One, so he can help a Savage next to him. He's been captain now for the last few games, right? So, he's got the ability to command that midfield. Will Savage or Craig do that? They'd probably be looking to Nibs in front of them, right? To almost help them with that, I'd think, unless one of them steps up on that front. But, for a 20 and 21 year old, however old they are, it's a big ask. It's a really big ask.
Yeah, I agree. The next 25 minutes or so of the game yesterday, so 50 minutes up to 75, it was basically all Reading, I think, Matt. Bolton did take the foot off the pedal. There's definitely no doubts about it. We had a number of shots in that, next 25 minutes or so of the game. We had a goal disallowed for offside for, I think it was Wareham who had the header in the end. Which was disallowed for a Sam Smith offside on a pass through. It's very 50-50 watching it back, whether this is offside or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I couldn't really tell you either way.
Yeah, like I think the way that I think some responded yesterday, I thought it was going to be about a yard or so onside, or it'd be really clear. It's very tight. It's one of those which, linesmen have got a tough enough job as it is. It's not a Fleetwood, it's not a Derby away where it was blatantly obvious that, the guy, was a couple of yards offside. Smith is right on the line. And you try and look across from the one video we've got behind the goal. It's really tough. But I think it's positive that Reading was still able to get back into the game and, fashion chances like that. I do kind of feel though that goal kind of, or that disallowed goal really came, that then took the wind out of our sails a bit. It then calmed down after that. Bolton were able to just slow the game down a bit, get their foot back on the ball, and it just took a little bit too much out of us.
The one frustrating thing about that goal is it completely shows how Sam Smith basically has one foot, because he's...
Yeah.
Yeah. For people who didn't watch this, the ball gets played through the middle on the floor, It's pretty much come through to Sam Smith on his right, and instead of him hitting it first time on his right, he's kind of had to maneuver himself back around the ball to hit it on his left foot, and give the keeper enough time to come out, make the save. It obviously bounces up, Wareham heads it in, but it's offside anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But it was a little frustrating, because I think if Smith just pokes at it, it's going straight in anyway. I know it's offside and it's, you know, it doesn't actually affect anything, but yeah, it's, it does highlight how, you know, one-footed Sam Smith can be at points.
Yeah, if you're a defender, you're keeping him on his right foot, aren't you? It's certainly something I think for hopefully the summer to look and work on, you know, work on his right foot, just try and get that firing a bit more. Because if he can get, you know, his right foot half as good as his left, you know, he's going to be in a good position. He's going to then be able to, you know, like you say, have a stab at it in situations like that. It was, yeah, he didn't have the time or the space really to try and shape his body to get it on his left there. It's just one that you think just instinctively hit it on your right. And you'd probably say 50% of the time they're probably going in then if you hit it with your right. But yeah, it's just a shame. It just took all the sting out of it.
Yeah, and you know, Bolton started to slow the game down. They made a few subs around the 70th minute mark, and then 77th minute, Bolton got their fourth goal. This one was just a complete mess, if I'm honest, Matt. Shambles in defence. And it's the first time I've really felt like we've had a properly shambolic defensive goal to give away for a while. But this one was pretty awful. It was just pinball, wasn't it?
Yeah, and right from, I guess, the start of it, when it's out on the left, and you've got Nibs, you've got Savage, and in the end it's Mola that I think gets the ball somehow through his legs. And then it's just a bit of, like you say, pinball carnage, and Bengay, I think, stops it a couple of times with his head. You've got players diving left and right. It's one of those goals which you would probably, if we were here last season, we'd probably add it to the comedy reel of Reading FC goals we've conceded. But, you know, it was just, yeah, like I think... The sting had started to go out of the game. It had got to about 80 minutes at that point. I think, I think the players, whether you could say it's tiredness, fitness, whatever, it just fell apart a bit. You know, I'm not gonna waste too much sleep kind of over that, because we've not seen it that often this year on the whole. So if that's the last goal we concede like that, then so be it at 4-1 down.
Yeah, it did feel a little bit like... At that point, once they got their fourth, Bolton were just, you know, they were attacking at will, as it were, and Reading just didn't really have any answers at that point. We made a few subs between the 80th and 85th minute, and we did get a kind of a consolation goal just as we went into injury time. Yeardom, who'd come off the bench earlier in the game, had a shot in the edge of the area. It was kind of a shot kind of cross towards the back post for Nibs. And the ball was rebounded up in the air, landed at Makari's feet, who basically had to tuck home at the near post, and brought it back to 4-2, which made it look a little bit more respectable with the goal. Obviously, lots of Reading fans at this point had kind of left, so you might have missed it, but it was a very easy finish for Makari, this goal.
Yeah, and it was kind of one comedy goal for another, because I don't think Bolton will be looking at that goal defensively too favourably, to be honest, with how it kind of pinballs around and everything. But yeah, you know, it's 4-2. I think we were kind of, I guess, maybe a little bit more happy to see 4-2 than 4-1. But then I think you made the mistake of chanting, "We want 5," unfortunately, Alex. And you got 5.
Well, just everybody else was chanting, "We want 3," and I thought, well, 3's a bit pointless. It just doesn't do anything. Who cares if we lose 4-3? But yeah, I did get the fifth goal. Just the wrong way. But Varson getting a fifth goal for Bolton, it was pretty much, I mean, almost from kickoff, really, Matt. Yeardom loses the ball on the right-hand side. I don't really understand what Yeardom does here, because he loses the ball, and I think it's Thomason. He loses the ball to Thomason on the left. Oh, well, their left. And Yeardom basically doesn't really turn around once he loses the ball until Thomason is already 5 yards away from him. It's almost as if he hasn't realised that Thomason has nicked the ball off his feet. And Thomason basically just to play it across. Not Thomason, sorry, but the player, I can't remember who it was, but he plays it across to Thomason. Thomason has a first-time pass across to Bodvarsson, and Bodvarsson's got to tap him from 2 yards, And at the time, it looks miles offside. And actually, watching the replay, it's not. I think it's, you know, very tight. Again, it could be offside. It could not be. It's difficult to, you know, difficult to know for certain. But it's a frustrating one to concede right at the very end as well, both, you know, first half and second half.
Yeah, it's just an extra goal off goal difference, isn't it? You know, I don't think goal difference is going to matter too much for us this season, but yeah, you know, you don't want to be shipping five goals away from home. It's more confidence than anything, right? You know, I think that, you know, the players might go back and think that, you know, well, the game was done, you know, it doesn't really matter, but you don't want to slip into those sorts of mentalities because other bad habits can then start brewing from that. Right. I think that's the only, I guess, thing for me. It might sound really bad, but like, I struggled to get too annoyed about yesterday at Bolton. You know,
we're playing a team at the top of the league.
Yeah.
We, you know, I think you saw some of the reaction afterwards was a case of, well, we won on Good Friday, and that was a game which people not expected, but people thought if we're going to pick up points over the Easter weekend, Good Friday was the one which mattered.
Yeah.
Particularly when you look at the other results yesterday in League One, with Burton losing eventually, Port Vale losing, Cheltenham losing, Fleetwood losing, Carlisle losing. Like, they all lost below us. The only team which won below us was Cambridge. And ultimately, you know, if Cambridge finish above us, but none of the other five do, it doesn't really matter. Who cares if we finish 18th or 19th, realistically? Doesn't make any difference. So the fact that all the other teams below has lost, it's one step closer to safety without actually having to do anything ourselves anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I mean, you're completely right. We won the game across Bank Holiday. That if someone had said before that, you know, your results this weekend would be a 1-0 win against Northampton, a 5-2 loss against Bolton, you would have taken that. Right, you know, we've got the points in the realistic game that was there for us to win. Of course, some people say you've got to be up for it for every game and that, but you've got to be respectful of where your opponents are. Bolton are top of the home charts for a reason. They've got 14 wins now at home, 3 draws, 3 losses. You don't do that across 20 games of a season and not have something right there. You know, it's you've got to have a little bit of perspective, but. You know, yes, it's maybe made easier from those that are losing. Some might say, oh, well, it was a, you know, if this had happened, we might have been one point closer to safety. But like you say, we've ticked off one game and we're just one game closer to the end of the season. And that points tally that you probably need for safety is staying at, you know, 45, 46 points, which we're already pretty much at this point. So, like I say, get another win in the games coming up, and no one's going to really remember this 5-2 loss at Bolton.
No,
if we end up staying up.
It of course does put a little bit more pressure on the games against, you know, probably Bristol Rovers, maybe a little bit of pressure at this on this Lincoln game, although that's going to be an incredibly tough game. I'm sure we'll come onto it later in the week. But the Bristol Rovers away game, who are on a pretty bad run of form, the Burton away game, the Barnsley away game, you know, all of these games are like games where maybe we can pick up some points. I don't know, 1-3-0, it's all, they're all options open really for those. And then, you know, we've still got 2 home games against Blackpool and Lincoln as well. And you think, well, maybe we can pick up 3 points in one of them, maybe not both. So it feels like we could pick up points in any of these games, but none of them are guaranteed. So
and Bolton of all those games, get it
done as early as we can, right?
Yeah, and Bolton of all those games was by far and away the toughest of the lot. You know, I think, but Bolton along with Portsmouth and Derby have kind of been a bit runaway. I know it's still, I guess, a little bit close at the top, you know, and they're not like 5-10 points clear of everyone else, but they're by far the best teams that we've played this year. You know, those three, and especially Bolton. Even when you look at Barnsley, you know, Barnsley are in the playoff picture, but they're mid table in the home table. You don't really know which Barnsley team is going to turn up, so you could go and get a result there. Bristol Rovers, nothing to play for, could go there and get a point, get a result. Burton later on the season could get a result, and obviously earlier when we played Lincoln, I know they're a much different outfit now, but you know, we probably were unlucky not to win that game. So yeah, you know, I don't think the team should be too disheartened. You know, I'd still say they've had a good bank holiday game, and yes, Lincoln's going to be a tough game, but if you come away from that with another point or something, I wouldn't say it's a must win or anything against Lincoln. If we can get a solid 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, whatever it is, we can get a good draw as long as we're not conceded in the last part of the game, I think we'd all be pretty happy with you know that run of three games from Good Friday.
Yeah, certainly. We'll be back, of course, before the Lincoln game on Saturday. Matt's going to be hopefully finding a Lincoln fan to talk about how well they've been doing recently. I think they're, what is it, 10 wins in their last 12 or something now? Definitely won their last five in a row, sixth in the league, and got the best or second best defence in the league at the minute. They're on just an incredible run of form. So it will be an incredibly tough game at the weekend. So we're looking forward to hearing how we are meant to try and, you know, beat them. I'm sure it will be a very difficult game nonetheless. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, do drop us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll be back on Thursday with a roundup of the week's news. Hopefully, fingers crossed, it's a quiet one for Reading, because we could really do with a quiet week, you know, for once in a while. And a preview of the Lincoln game. And until then, have a great week and up the ding.